بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. In the name of Allah, the most beneficent, the most merciful, I testify that there is no true God worthy of worship except Allah, and that Muhammad is Allah's true slave and messenger. We continue the benefits of verse 177 from Surah Al-Baqarah, and from the benefits is giving wealth and property, although beloved to the person, giving it in charity is from al-birr, from righteousness. And Ibn Umar, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, whenever something of his property or wealth whenever he liked something of his property and of his wealth, except that he gives it in charity. And he used to say that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and in lan tanalu al-birra hatta tunfiqu mimma tuhibbun, you will not attain al-birr, righteousness, until you spend of that which you love, as in Surah Al-Imran chapter 3 verse 92. لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. And when Abu Talha, may Allah be pleased with him, heard this verse, he gave his garden in charity. He gave his garden in charity, and which is the most beloved from all of his property to him. It is not because it is his garden only, rather because the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam also used to come to it and drink from its good water, and it was, his garden was close to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam masjid. And when the verse was revealed, this verse, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, by no means shall you attain al-birr unless you spend of that which you love. He went to the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam and he said, Ya Rasulallah, O Messenger of Allah, Inna Allah anzala hadhihi al-ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, لَن تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ, by no means you shall attain al-birr until you spend of that which you love. وَإِنِّي أَضَعُهَا صَدَقَةً إِلَى اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ, and therefore I will put it as a sadaqah, a charity for Allah, for in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's cause and his messenger. فَقَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ بَخٍ بَخْ ذَاكَ مَالٌ رَابِحٌ. This is بَخٍ بَخْ, is bravo. This is a profitable property. And أرى أن تجعله في الأقربين, but I think that it should be proper if you give it to your kith and kin. So he said, أفعل يا رسول الله, I will do so. And so he did spend it to his kith and kin. And from the benefits of this verse is that giving those of kith and kin is more befitting than giving the orphans and the poor, because Allah started with them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى, in the verse, in the beginning of this verse where we are discussing, the one we are discussing, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى. He started by ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى. ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى meaning the kith and kin, giving the property in charity. So, if someone now asks, is it better that I give the kith and kin or the orphans, we say, give it to the kith and kin, unless there are people from the yatama, from the orphan, that there is a necessity that they should be given, a necessity which will make it more preponderating that they should be given. And we know that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, gave the silatul rahim, the ties of kinship, he gave it precedence over freeing the slaves. And let it be known that the ruling, if it is related to a description or a quality, a description or a quality such that the description and the quality may differ between the individuals in terms of strength or weakness, then the ruling will be intensified in accordance with that description. So, if the ruling is related to kith and kin, then those who are closer, they are to take precedence. And the closest to you and more deserving of righteousness are your mother and your father. And from the benefits of this verse is that the orphans, they have a right, because Allah praised those who give them from their property. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَالْيَتَامَ, the orphans, whether they are poor or rich. The 10th benefit, affirming the attribute of mercy to Allah Azza wa Jal, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala recommended giving this to the orphan, the charity to the orphan and to the poor, and there is no doubt that this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also from the benefits is that the wayfarer has a right, even if he is rich in his hometown or in his country. And from that is also giving the person who asks is from al-birr, is from righteousness, even though he may be rich, because of the general wording in the verse, because Allah said was-sa'ilin, and those who ask. Now, if someone says, how is this reconciled with the warning not to ask people? So how I can reconcile giving to those who ask when there is a warning not to ask people? Then the answer is that there is no contradiction, because the two matters are inseparable. The two matters are separable, rather. The praised one is the one who is giving, the giver. And the warned one is the one who asks. And if they are separate, then there is no contradiction. So if you see someone who is afflicted with this kind of quote profession, end of quote, which means asking people, then give him, if he asks you, then admonish him and give him a warning. Why? So that you will be a property giver and also an admonisher to him. Why? Because we know that there are some people, and we seek refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we know for certain or most likely that they are rich, but they ask people for more. And it has been confirmed that the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam said in the hadith reported by Imam Muslim, and it is in Sahih Muslim volume 2, hadith number 2266, من سأل الناس أموالهم تكثرا فإنما يسأل جمرا فليستقل أو ليستكثر. He who begs the riches of others to increase his own is asking only for live coals. So let him ask as little or much. And also in the other hadith, ما يزال الرجل يسأل الناس حتى يأتي يوم القيامة وما في وجهه مزعة لحم. And in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim, and in Muslim it is volume 2, hadith 2265, the person would continue begging from people till he would come on the day of resurrection, and there would be no flesh on his face. No flesh on his face. And from the benefits of this verse is that freeing the slaves is from righteousness, is from al-birr. Because this whole verse is about al-birr. Because Allah said in the verse, وَفِرْ riqab, and in the righteousness is in the riqab, in concerning the slaves. And the property spent to free them is not to be given to the slave, rather it is to be given to the master. And those al-riqab referred to in this verse are three types. Three types. A slave possessed, you buy him and you free him. This is one type. The second type is one who mukatab or mukatib, who bought himself from his master. There you help him in freeing himself. And the third is a Muslim captive held with the kafirs, so you ransom him free. Similarly, if he is held captive with other than the kafirs, like for example those who may be kidnapped nowadays, if they ask for the kidnappers, if they ask for ransom, then he is to be freed from the zakah, from the charity money. Because in this case there is a freeing of him from being killed. The 14th benefit, establishing the salah is from righteousness. Establishing the salah is from righteousness, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ, and established the prayer. The one who established the prayer, this is from righteousness. And from that is إِتَاءُ الزَّكَاءُ, giving the zakah to those who deserve it. This is from al-birr. And from this also, from the benefits, of course, is the praising of those who fulfill the promise or keep the promise and fulfill it. And that this fulfillment is from al-birr. Fulfilling the covenant is from al-birr. And the covenant is of two types. The covenant is of two types. A covenant with Allah Azza wa Jal and a covenant with the creation. The covenant which is with Allah, Allah made that clear in Surah Al-A'raf in chapter 7, verse 172, قال الله عز وجل وإذ أخذ ربك من بني آدم من ظهورهم ذريتهم وأشهدهم على أنفسهم ألست بربكم قالوا بلى شهدنا أن تقولوا يوم القيامة إنا كنا عن هذا غافلين. And remember when your Lord brought forth from the children of Adam from their lions their seed, or from Adam's lion his offspring, and made them testify as to themselves, saying, Am I not your Lord? They said, Yes, we testify, lest you should say on the day of resurrection, Verily we have been unaware of this. Also, like the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ma'idah, in chapter 5, verse 12, Allah azza wa jal, وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ 12 نَقِيبًا وَقَالَ اللَّهُ إِنِّي مَعَكُمْ لَئِنْ أَقَمْتُمُ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَيْتُمُ الزَّكَاةَ وَآمَنْتُمْ بِرُسُلِي وَعَزَّرْتُمُوهُمْ وَأَقْرَضْتُمُ اللَّهَ قَرْضًا حَسَنًا لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارُ. Indeed, Allah took the covenant from the children of Israel, and we appointed 12 leaders among them, and Allah said, I am with you if you perform as-salah and give zakah and believe in my messengers, honor and assist them, and lend to Allah a good loan. Verily, I will remit your sins and admit you to gardens under which rivers flow. But if any of you after this disbelieved, he has indeed gone astray from the straight path. So the covenant with Allah is that we believe in him as our Lord and accept his sharia and his universal decree and legal decree. This is the covenant between us and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is the covenant between us and Allah. As to the covenant which is amongst us and between us and others, then this is of different types, many different types, unlimited. From that are the regular covenants we know of, like the commerce, the covenants in commerce, and the covenants we do concerning estates rents and so forth, and also the covenant of nikah, the contract in nikah, in marriage and the like. So if you make a contract with someone, then you have to abide by what that contract or covenant necessitates, because every kind of contract is a covenant. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Ma'idah verse 1, chapter 5 verse 1, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil'uqud. Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu awfu bil'uqud. Oh, you believe, fulfill your obligations in the covenants. وقال تعالى وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا. In Surah Al-Isra 17:34, وأوفوا بالعهد إن العهد كان مسؤولا. And fulfill every covenant, verily the covenant will be questioned about. And from the covenants taking place between the creation is though are those which take place between the Muslims and the Kafirs. And these are three types. The covenants between the Muslims and the Kafirs are three types. First, forever. First type is forever. Second type is restricted type. Third type is general. The first type, which is called mu'abbad, forever, is not permissible. First type is not permissible. the forever type is not permissible. The second type is the restricted one. For example, the first type, for example, why it is not is not permitted? Because this leads to the mollification of jihad. Because this leads to the mollification of jihad. The second type is the restricted type. This is in accordance with the need. This is in accordance with the need. Even though the period may be prolonged, as long as there is a need. So the restricted type is linked to the need. Even though it may be prolonged, then it may continue as long as there is a need. So therefore, it will be in accordance with the need. It is said that the period in this restricted type should not increase, should not be more than 10 years. Because in origin, the obligation is to fight the kafirs. And that the covenant is permitted for 10 years in accordance with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's deal during the Treaty of Al-Hudaybiyah. However, the correct opinion that it continues as long as there is a genuine need. And in response to their citing the covenant of the Hudaybiyah Treaty, we say that the occurrence then did not necessitate prolonging. The occurrence and the situation did not necessitate increasing the period. Now, the third type, the general one, and this is the one which is not forever, nor it is restricted. And it is permissible, according to the correct opinion, if needed. It is permissible if needed. So whenever the Muslims find a need for this general type of covenant with the kafirs, they can do. And if the need is lifted and there is no more need, then they deal with the kafirs as necessitated by circumstances and by the conditions then. And the kafirs cannot take of it as a proof against the Muslims. They have no proof against the Muslims if the Muslims find the need to end it. Why? Because it is of the general type. Because it is general. So, these are the three types of the covenants with the kafirs and the ruling concerning each one. Now, as to those involved in these covenants from the kafirs, they have three cases. Those falling under the covenant from the kafirs have three cases, three situations. The first situation, if they are true to us in the covenant. Number one, if they are true to us in the covenant. The second situation, if they are treacherous. The second type, if they are true to us. Yes, they're the kafirs, yes. The second type, if they are treacherous. The third type, if we fear treachery from them. The third, if we fear treachery from them. So, if they are true to us, then it is obligatory upon us to be true to them. If they are true to us, then it's binding that also we be true to them. And it is not right, whatever the situation may be, that we be treacherous to them. So in the first case, if they are true to us, then it's obligatory to be true to them, and we cannot violate this. We cannot be treacherous to them. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah chapter 9 verse 7, فَمَا اسْتَقَامُوا لَكُمْ فَاسْتَقِيمُوا لَهُمْ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ الْمُتَّقِينَ. So long as they are true to you, stand you true to them. Verily Allah loves al-muttaqeen. If they become treacherous, then that violates their covenant and it becomes breached, and then it's a duty bound to fight them, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah At-Tawbah 9:12, وَإِن نَكَثُوا. In Surah At-Tawbah, yes, verse 12, وَإِن نَكَثُوا أَيْمَانَهُمْ مِن بَعْدِ عَهْدِهِمْ وَطَعَنُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ فَقَاتِلُوا أَئِمَّةَ الْكُفْرِ إِنَّهُمْ لَا أَيْمَانَ لَهُمْ لَعَلَّهُمْ يَنْتَهُونَ. But if they violate their oaths after their covenant and attack your religion with disapproval and criticism, then fight you the leaders of this belief, for surely their oaths are nothing to them, so that they may stop the evil actions. Now, if we fear treachery from them, then it's an obligation to throw back their covenant to them so as to be on equal terms. If we fear treachery from them, then it's an obligation that we throw back their covenant to them so as to be equal, on equal terms. If we fear treachery from the kafirs, then it's an obligation to throw back their covenant to them so as to be on equal terms. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Anfal chapter 8 verse 58, وَإِمَّا تَخَافَنَّ مِنْ قَوْمٍ خِيَانَةً فَانْبُدْ إِلَيْهِمْ عَلَى سَوَاءٍ. If you, O Muhammad صلى الله عليه وسلم, fear treachery from any people, throw back their covenant to them so as to be on equal terms, that there will be no more covenant between you and them. Certainly Allah likes not the treacherous. So we tell them there is no more covenant between you and us, so that it becomes very clear to them. And also from the covenants is what takes a place between a person and others from the matters which are binding, but other than the contracts. Like for example, the promise, it is a form of covenant, and the people of knowledge differed whether it is obligatory to fulfill it or it is not. And the correct opinion, and it is the opinion chosen by Shaykh al-Islam Ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah, that It is an obligation to fulfill the promise, because it is part of the covenant, and also because not fulfilling the promise is from the signs of hypocrisy. And if it is as such, then it is not permissible for the believer to behave like the behaviors of the hypocrites. Now the 17th point of benefit. Patience is from righteousness. Patience is from righteousness. And patience is three types. Patience upon obedience to Allah, to bear the actions of obedience without disliking nor complaining. The second is patience concerning the acts of disobedience, and this is to refrain oneself from indulging in sins if they are incited by one's own self. The third is patience on the calamities that befalls the person, which do not fit with one's nature. And to be patient means to be content with the pre-decree and having no complaints, refraining oneself from that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Al-Baqarah, and we went over this before, these verses were explained in detail before. وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ Surah Al-Baqarah 155-157 وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ الَّذِينَ إِذَا أَصَابَتْهُمْ مُصِيبَةٌ قَالُوا إِنَّا لِلَّهِ وَإِنَّا إِلَيْهِ رَاجِعُونَ أُولَئِكَ عَلَيْهِمْ صَلَوَاتٌ مِّنْ رَبِّهِمْ وَرَحْمَةٌ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُهْتَدُونَ And certainly we shall test you with something of fear, hunger, loss of wealth. These are painful things, lives and fruits. But give glad tidings to as-sabirin, to the patient ones, who when afflicted with calamity, they say, truly to Allah we belong, and truly to Him we shall return. They are those on whom are the salawat, the blessings from their Lord, and they are those who receive His mercy, and it is they who are the guided ones. And the highest form of this, of these types, is the first one. Patience on obedience. Why? Because there is forbearing, and there is also toil in carrying on the act of obedience. Then the second in rank is that concerning refrainment from sins, because also there is forbearing, and there is also refrainment from indulging the sin. And refrainment is easier than acting. Then the third one is the last one, and that is concerning the calamities which befalls the person. Why? Because the person has no choice in these calamities. The 18th point of benefit. Whatever has been mentioned from these descriptions represents the reality of truthfulness with Allah and with the creation. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala at the end of the verse said, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا Those are the truthful ones. So, they were truthful with Allah, Azza wa Jal, since they established these beneficial matters of creed, which includes the belief in Allah, the last day, the angels, the books, and the prophets, and that they established the salah, and they gave the charity, and they exerted and spent that which they loved in the directions of righteousness. And as to their truthfulness with the creation, this falls under Allah's saying, وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَاهَدُوا, and those who fulfill their promises and covenants when they do them. And this is from the signs of truthfulness. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said about them, وَأُولَٰئِكَ or أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا, truly, those are the ones who were truthful. So they were truthful in their creed and in their relation with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in their relation with the creation. The 19th point of benefit, all that has been mentioned also falls under the taqwa, the piety. And we said earlier that when it is mentioned together with al-birr, when at-taqwa, piety, and al-birr, righteousness, are mentioned together, then at-taqwa would mean abandoning what's haram, and al-birr would be executing the commands. And if they are mentioned separately, then they will be, then al-birr will mean at-taqwa, and at-taqwa will mean al-birr. They will be interrelated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. You see, he said that those are the ones who are muttaqoon, the pious, yet they are the ones who are on al-birr, on righteousness. This tells that establishing the birr is from taqwa, because in reality, the one who establishes al-birr hopes for the reward from Allah and fears his punishment. And this is taqwa. Finally, there is a point of benefit, and there is a point that needs to be made, and that is the obviously understood meaning of this verse is a comprehensive meaning in giving the wealth and property and spending it to those who are mentioned in the verse, from the kins and kin and the yatama, the orphan, the poor, and the wayfarer, and those who ask, and the freeing the slaves. So, ظاهر الآية, the apparent meaning of the ayah is العموم, general, comprehensive, covers the Muslims and the kafir. But this is not intended, indeed. Rather, it is particular, specific to the Muslim. As to the kafir, it is okay to do good to him as long as he is not from those who fight us in deen, fight us for our Islam, because of our Islam. And as long as also he is not from those who drove us from our homes. Because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated this in Surah Al-Mumtahina, verse 8. قال الله تعالى لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن نعم that's it. لا ينهاكم الله عن الذين لم يقاتلوكم في الدين ولم يخرجوكم من دياركم أن تبروهم وتقسطوا إليهم إن الله يحب المقسطين. Allah does not forbid you to deal justly and kindly with those who fought you, not against you on account of religion, and did not drive you out of your homes. Verily Allah loves those who deal with equity. And accordingly, if the kafir is from those who fight us by himself, fight us, I mean, involved in the fighting with us as a fighter or takes the ruling of a fighter, like he is from a country which is engaged with war against the Muslims, then in this case he is not to be dealt with in accordance with this exception, justly and kindly, and therefore he is not to be given from the charity, because he is in actuality prepared to the fight. If his country commands him, then he has to respond. And therefore, as long as he is in a state of war, therefore he wants to annihilate the Muslims, and therefore he does not fit to be from those receiving the good and just treatment. Wallahu ta'ala a'la wa a'lam, wa sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. This brings the end of verse 177 from Surah Al-Baqarah.